This is Brevard's Praise and Worship Station. WMIE, Coco, Melbourne, Titusville, FM 91.5. Welcome to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. May Holy Spirit guide you into all truth as Sherry sows God's love letter, the Bible. One book at a time, chapter, verse, and line by line. And now, here's Sherry.
God bless you, thank you, and welcome to Trumpet of Truth. Jesus said, thy word is truth. This is Sherry, America's missionary messenger of truth. So America, please open your King James Bibles to hear the truth in the book of Joel, J-O-E-L, minor prophet, chapter 1, verse 15, where we left off last time. Joel, chapter 1, verse 15. Just before I begin, I want to invite every one of you to come here to my school, Sherry Medlock School, Cocoa, Florida, on March 23rd at 6:30 p.m. for a video presentation by Scott Merson and his Picture Scripture Ministry. Now, Scott Merson is a chosen vessel of God, an anointed man of God, and a demon slayer. Scott has a unique supernatural gift. He takes pictures which reveal what is in the spiritual dimension right here in our physical realm. And to borrow a phrase from Scott, awesome stuff. So, March 23rd, 6:30 p.m. here at my school, Scott Merson and his Picture Scripture Video Ministry. And now for Joel chapter 1, verse 15. Let me give you a recap. This is very important. The reason God's got me teaching Joel is because I just finished Revelation. We are at the end of this flesh age, not the actual flesh age, but the actual time in the flesh as we know it. And this Joel is a prophecy of what's going on right now. So he wrote it out for us, and he gave us an analogy to show us why the United States of America and the body of Christ, the church in America, has been stripped clean of Jesus and the Bible. And so he told us that. And he used an analogy of the natural locust. The locust stripped everything clean in their path. Strip, strip, strip. They leave nothing left. And we learned that the four stages of the locust army, the locusts, are underground. Nobody knows what they're going and what they're going to do, what they're about. And so they represent the devil's children in the flesh, the Kenites. But we're going to get into the supernatural here tonight. And the Kenites, who have destroyed America with their four hidden powers, four hidden dynasties. And of course, that's political, religion, education, and economic. But last time, he said the same things happened to the church. You've taken the meat away. There's no meat there. There's no word. There's one verse, 3 points, a book about the book, a quarterly. And he says, you are lethargic. You have inertia. You're impotent church. Now, in verse 14 last time, God is so good, he gave us a solution. Now see, most of you are going to read this book and you'll read the 14th verse and you'll say, that's nice, and then you go into the 15th verse. The way I do the Bible is I read it. If it tells me to do something, I just do it. So let's hear what he told us to do. What is the solution for the body of Christ, the church of Christ, Jesus Christ, and America?
14, sanctify ye a fast, call ye a solemn assembly. Gather the elders and all the inhabitants of the land unto the house of the Lord your God, and cry unto the Lord.
All right, he told us to do it. This is the end time. God's already described he meant for us to do it, so I'm doing it. So, in the name and the power of Jesus, I call the elect from all 50 states. They are clusters of God's warrior elects in all 50 states. And I say, elect, connect, Christians, with me. Let us call, I am calling, a day of repentance, of confession, of turning to Jesus. Turn ye, my people, says the Lord, and turning back to the Bible. Now, all of you who have media technology to help me get this out, those of you who have media networks, those of you who know how to do this, I want you to get in touch with me and let us get it done. As soon as I get enough response from this, we'll set a date. And do you know that what God promises, that it'll heal our land? That is promised in 2 Chronicles 7. 7:14. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven. I will forgive their sins and I will heal their land. So answer me, respond. My announcer is going to give you my number at the end of this program. Call me, and I really need media connections so you can wire us up all around here, a whole day, repentance, confession, and the body of Christ in America turning back to God. Praise the Lord. Amen. Okay, well, got that done. Let's see what he tells us to do next.
15. Alas for the day. For the day of the Lord is at hand, and as a destruction from the Almighty shall it come.
Now, this will be the seventh trump about which we just studied in Revelation. This will be the day that Jesus returns. Remember, there are seven trunks, that means lights, camera, action, events leading up to Jesus' second coming. We're in the latter part of the fifth trump now. It's a time of learning, which God has, why it's why God has me speaking to you. Very soon, the sixth trump will sound. That will be the Antichrist. Instead of Christ, he's going to pretend to be Christ. His time has been shortened for the elect's sake, Mark 13, and then Jesus comes. So the day of the Lord is at hand. Now, what does he say with destruction? Because when Jesus comes, Revelation 13 says the whole world, including half of the body of Christ, will be calling the Antichrist God. Instead of Christ, the Antichrist will be here, and the whole world will worship him, and half the body of Christ. I hate to tell you that. So that hurts Jesus' feelings. So he's coming back with seven vials, wide-mouthed bowls, the cup of wrath about which he prayed in the garden, and he's going to pour that out. Now, for all of you elect, 7,000 of you, Romans 11, not one hair of your head shall be harmed, and we're told that in the Gospel of Luke. So, now, I don't normally tell my visions and dreams, but not too long ago, God took me out of my body. As Paul says, whether in the body or I do not know, whether out of the body I do not know. I know he took me up to the edge of heaven and sent a messenger with great beauty there. And he looked at me and he said, the end is very near. And then he gave me some instructions, which I'll keep quiet, but I'm doing a part of it right now.
16. Is not the meat cut off before our eyes?
Now, last time he told us the meat of the word. Paul says, if you drink milk, you're a weak baby Christian. Babies drink milk. Go on to the meat of the word, the mystery of God. Now, we do that in here. And there are a few places. There are only 7,000 elect, so it's not the mainstream. I'm sorry to say. I wish it were.
Joy and gladness from the house of our God.
Joy and gladness is cut off. Why is that? Because if the Christians do not know the chronological order of the trumps, and the world is so dark, and our country is gone and captured, and ISIS is cutting people's heads off, and it's doom and gloom, and you have no hope, of course you have no joy. In the presence of the Lord is fullness of joy. The Lord's name is the Word. You have no Word, no Word, no joy. Have you ever seen such a bunch of sad sack Christians? I'm going to tell you something. Christians, Isaiah and Jeremiah and Daniel and Ezekiel would have given anything to live at our time. This is the best time. We are the last generation of the fig tree. We are the elect. We're going to stand before Antichrist. God chose us from before the foundation of the earth because we fought for him then, and he sent out his first to be last here. This is a great time. In other words, why are you so afraid? It's such a badge of honor to be delivered up to Antichrist. That means God can trust you. When you speak, the Holy Spirit will speak through you, and the gospel will be heard. Hallelujah. What I love about it, airtime's so expensive. When I'm delivered up, the devil's going to have to pay for me to have airtime all over the world. Hallelujah. He finances the bill, and for you too.
17, the seed is rotten under their clods.
Oh my goodness. Now, sometimes in the Bible, the seed is money, but this time the seed is the word. Now, if there's another minor prophet that said, is the seed still in the barn? A farmer has the seed, stores it in the barn, and when it's time to plant, he takes that seed and plants it, and then it produces a harvest. But is the seed still in the barn? If you leave that seed in the natural in the barn, it will rotten. So it will not be planted, so there'll be no harvest. What he means here, where is my word? I don't want your one verse and 3 points. I want the whole mystery of God. If you would tell my people that the Antichrist comes first pretending to be Jesus, they would be harvested by Jesus instead of by the wrong harvester. In other words, where is the word? It's still in the barn. It's still in the book. open it up, people, and give them the meat.
The gatherers are laid desolate.
No harvest.
The barns are broken down, for the corn is wasted.
Corn means bread. Jesus is the bread of life. The word is bread. Amos 8:11, you hear me say it many times, is a famine in the land here at these end times, not of bread or water, but of every word of God.
18, how do the beast groan?
The book of Romans says that even the creatures, the animals, just long for Jesus to come back. See, they feel the disorder. They feel the chaos. They feel the evil. And if you are even 1/16 of a second sensitive, you would be aware that everything is out of kilter. Even lost people, as I think you said, that even they say, is the end near? You can feel it.
The herds of cattle are perplexed.
Now, I'm sorry, but that's you, the herds of cattle, and you're perplexed. God calls in the book of Isaiah his children heifer. That's right. And see, remember, Jesus is the bridegroom, and we're the bride. God is the husband, we're the wife. So he talks about men and women. He calls you a heifer, and it's a loving term. But he says, my heifer, my children are perplexed. By the way, since the larger bulk of the 10 tribes settled these United States of America, and so we're supposed to be the Christian nation. We're supposed to be the church with the gospel. We are, some of us, but not the whole nation. If you ever look at a map of America, look at America. It's in the shape of a heifer. God has a great sense of humor. Perplexed, why? If you do not know God's word, you don't know what's going on. You're confused that socialism and communism have taken over our country. You're confused that Christianity cannot be spoken even in America anymore. And you're confused as to know what to do about your life.
Because they have no pastor.
All right. Now, the good shepherd causes his sheep to lie down in green pasture. He gives them good, healthy food, not a starvation diet, not milk when they're all grown up. The word pastor, the office in the Bible, in the church, comes from the word pastor. A pastor is supposed to feed his sheep. We get a person saved, so we give them the milk, the fact that Jesus died, shed his blood, and arose, paid our sin debt. But then we go on to a full meal.
The flocks of sheep are made desolate.
Now again, that's you. See, he calls you a heifer and he calls you flocks of sheep. He loves you. Pet names. Okay, what does it mean, made desolate? In Mark 13, Jesus says, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet standing where he ought not, don't go there, run. That word desolation, it should be translated desolator. It's not a condition, but an entity. So see, the Antichrist comes first. He's the dragon, two horns of a lamb. He's the devil pretending to be Jesus. But when you see him, don't go there. But he says, my flock are made desolate. Half the body of Christ, five are wise, five are foolish, half and half, are going to go to that desolator. Why? Because the fig tree's been barked. The seed still in the barn instead of your spirit where it should have been deposited.
19, O Lord, to thee will I cry, for the fire hath devoured the pastures of the wilderness, and the flame hath burned all the trees of the field.
Now, you know that Hebrews 12:29 says, our God is a consuming fire, but this is not our God. This is strange fire. This is false teaching. It has consumed the truth away from the body of Christ. Almost no one knows of the full mystery of God, of the three earth and heaven ages, of the seduction in the garden, of the fallen angels, of the order of the trumps, of the Kenites, of the fallen angels, of what we're supposed to do right here at the end.
20, the beast of the field cry also unto thee, for the rivers of waters are dried up, and the fire has devoured the pastures of the wilderness.
Jesus told the woman at the well in the Gospel of John, if you would drink of the water that I give you, it's the water of life, you will never thirst again. Yes, darkness is upon this earth. Yes, the Antichrist is about to come. But you, Christian, we live in the secret place of the Most High. And he hides us under his pavilion. And we have all the water we drink. We have Jesus, we have his word, and we have his spirit.
Joel chapter 2, verse 1. Blow ye the trumpet in Zion, and sound an alarm in my holy mountain.
Well, we do that, trumpet of truth. A trumpet calls you to gather, or to march, or to warn.
Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble.
Hebrews 12, God says, at the end, I'm going to shake everything that can be shaken. I shook it once before. I'm shaking everything. America has been shaken to its core. The body of Christ is shaken to its core. Those of us who are in the front line of battle are shaken to our core. But he said, what will stand, will stand. We're still standing. Hallelujah.
For the day of the Lord cometh. It is nigh at hand.
And as I was given in that vision, the end is very near. We're into the fifth trumpet. Satan comes as Antichrist, calling himself God, but his time has been shortened for the elect's sake, and then comes Jesus.
Verse 2, a day of darkness and of gloominess, a day of clouds and of thick darkness.
Now, what this means is there is so little light, so little truth. As Isaiah and Jeremiah said, you have a church on every hand. I'm paraphrasing it. But he said, I call it a house repute, of repute. Where is my word? So little light, so little wisdom. People running hither, thither, and yon, just trying to get it together. And all the while, we Christians ought to be rejoicing, because after the Antichrist comes, Jesus is coming. Amen. Smile. That's happy. Amen.
As the morning spread upon the mountains, a great people and a strong, they have not been ever the like, neither shall be any more after it, even to the years of many generations.
Now, these are the fallen angels of Genesis 6. It says in Genesis 6, and the sons of God went in unto the daughters of men. Sons of God, there in the original manuscript, says Napha, Nephilim. Those were angels with God. Satan sent them in. They refused to be born from above, to be born again, which means to be born of women. They came in and married, quote, quote, ha ha, the beautiful daughters of the man, Adam, to pollute the seed line so Jesus could not come. Now, they have one more time. Revelation 12 says the dragon is going to be cast out of heaven by Michael. And then Revelation 12 and Revelation 20 verse 2 says the dragon is the devil. And with him will be his stars, his children, those angels minus the flesh, the fallen angels. They are coming back with him. And we're going to talk about them a little bit more in just a moment. So keep that. Now, one more thing I want to tell you about. They are Satan's children, but they are supernatural beings. They're also Satan's children right now in the government of the United States and ISIS. So keep that in mind. Satan has children in the flesh, and Satan has children in the angelic body.
3, a fire devoureth before them, and behind them a flame burneth.
Now, these fallen angels are what Revelation 13 calls the image of the beast. The second beast in Revelation is the Antichrist. These fallen angels, plus some of the Kenites, Satan's human children, will be on an image of a television screen and a computer screen. Revelation says the beast gives them life. The beast, the Antichrist, tells them what to say. It's propaganda. The fallen angels are coming back as preachers and ministers, and they're coming into the Christian church, especially where the elect are. They will be preaching the gospel of the devil, but because the meat has been stolen from the word, it'll sound so much like the gospel of Jesus. They know the scripture, they have a fake anointing, and they know how to take you off your guard. So keep that in mind.
Land is as the Garden of Eden before them, and behind them a desolate wilderness.
In the natural, if a locust has a beautiful garden in front of him, I mean, he just goes in there and yum, 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 eats it all up. So when these fallen angels come and get to come into the Christian church to turn you to their Father, and especially in assemblies of the elect, they'll try to come in here, it's going to be a piece of cake to take those Christians who do not know the Word of God. Remember, Satan is beautiful, and he's coming back as Christ. He's coming back as the Lamb. He'll say peace and safety, cause craft to prosper. He'll do signs and lying wonders. I mean, he always wanted to be God. He's coming in the sky, landing as Jerusalem. And he's not cutting your head off or blowing up buildings like they're all telling you. So to be a piece of cake, like just a locust in a lush garden of Eden.
Yeah, nothing shall escape them.
They're not going to leave any stone unturned to get you to worship their Father.
For the appearance of them as the appearance of horses, and as horsemen so shall they run. 5, like the noise of chariots on the tops of mountains shall they leap, like the noise of a flame of fire that devoureth the stubble, as a strong people set in battle array.
Now, a great description of what he just said in this Bible is Revelation chapter 9. We have there the king of the bottomless pit, who is the devil, the Antichrist, Abaddon in the Hebrew, the destroyer, Apollo in perdition in the Greek. And with him, the devil coming before Jesus, the Antichrist, beautiful devil, pretending to be Jesus, will be this locust army, as signified by that, the other fallen angels. Now, Revelation 9 says, their shape is like unto horses prepared for battle. No, they don't look like a horse. It means power. If you have a whole bunch of horses, rearing thoroughbreds, ready to go to battle, like some of your elect are, you just can't wait to run, boy, is that going to be power. In other words, they're coming with great power. They have magical gifts. They can do illusions, and they're very strong. Revelation 9 says they have on their head crowns of gold because they are kings unto their father, the devil. Now, in Revelation 1, God says, you elect are a king and a priest. So remember, Satan's coming back as the Savior, and so his kings are coming back like these great preachers of God. You understand? And it says that their face is like a man. The word angel means man. So they are going to be very recognizable, just extra special, extra beautiful. You understand? Okay. And it says the hair is like women. That's a figure of speech, meaning they're going to be soft and sweet and nice and don't you worry. I mean, everything's going to be all right. You're going to get a Mercedes and an Audi and a Porsche all at once, and it's going to be all right, and I love you. And then it says, but their teeth are like a lion. A lion rips and tears his prey. They use that softening right in the church, quoting scripture with a fake anointing to cause you to get off of your guard. If you're not careful, you'll stop listening to the person God put before you and listen to the fallen angel if you don't know the truth. And then he's going to rip and tear the very truth out of you. Then it says their breastplates are rods of iron. In other words, they're very hard-hearted. Now, you're a king and a priest. Any one of God's elect has a soft heart. We just open our heart and get it stabbed to pieces. But they have breastplates of iron. They actually hate you. In fact, all of Satan's children hate you. In our government, if you'll watch them stick their nose up and tell you something, you can see that they want to say, I hate you. So they have that. Then it says that they make a sound. Their sound is like chariots of horses running to battle. Now, what this means is, they are very noisy. They try to drown out the truth. I'll tell you the truth. Any one of Satan's children, whether the fallen angels or whether a demon comes in piggyback, watch the noise. Bang, crash, bang. We've had it in here. Listen to the commercials. Listen to the noise. And most of those are done by the Kenites. They try to drown out the truth. And then it says, they have tails likened to a scorpion. They're not a scorpion. A tail stings its victim with its tail and paralyzes its victim. What it means here is that they're so charismatic. They're so mesmerizing that you're paralyzed. Ooh, how beautiful. Wow, have you ever heard anything like that? And then it says they have power in their tails to hurt men 5 months. You are hurt when you're deceived and worship the devil. So their time is 5 months. Revelation 9 says it twice, 5 months. And in the natural, the literal locust time is from May to September, 5 months. Now, they're about to come. put this in parentheses. When I say parentheses, it's just my opinion. You don't have to accept it. I sort of believe some of them are here now.
Fritz, before their face the people shall be much pained. All faces shall gather blackness.
Blackness and pained in the Hebrew, this would be Hebrew, means faint, to swoon. Like a teenage girl goes to a rock star concert. Oh, they are so charismatic. That's why Paul said, women have your head covered. It doesn't mean with a hair or a hat. It means covered with Christ, but it means you men too. They are con artists per se. They know the Bible. Satan knows the Bible. And they have a fake anointing. And they're going to come into the assembly of God. And they're going to try to woo the elect if it were possible. You heard it here.
Seven, they shall run like mighty men. They shall climb the wall like men of war.
Now, just this past week, I heard on the news that the terrorists, ISIS and all of those who are Satan's children, a portion of those, the Kenites, in the flesh, that they actually climb up on the walls and on the roof to do their dirty work. Now, how are the fallen angels going to do that? Okay, listen carefully. You have a wire on your wall and on your roof, and it comes down to your television screen and your computer screen. Remember the image of the beast. And most everybody watches television and watches the computer. Everybody, the poorest person in America. And so there, the Antichrist, the beast, is going to give his life to them. It means he's going to tell them what to say. Their propaganda, their lies, to deceive you.
And they shall march, every one on his ways.
Now, I wanted to say, it's about to say a little later on, that they come into your windows. It's not talking about a little window. Your computer, Windows, okay? Windows 98, Windows 99, understand? Okay, they march. Now, here's what it is. God said in the book of Jeremiah, there he was talking about the Rechabites, the house of Rechab. That's the same thing as the Kenites, the devil children. The words are interchangeable. God said, the only thing I like about the devil's children, the Kenites, the Rechabites, and the fallen angels, is that they are loyal to their father. They absolutely do what he says. We just sang the song, Trust and Obey. But what these do, each one of these, in their formation, they don't get out of formation. They don't get offended and run over here. I'm not going there anymore. I'm going to make my pulpit, you know, like the body of Christ does. No. Their focus is on their God. See, I always say, everybody, take your place. Fitly join together. Boy, what a marching army we can be. They are.
And they shall not break their ranks.
They don't break their ranks. They don't run off and take their little marbles and go home at the first offense.
Neither shall one thrust another.
They don't kill each other like Christians do. The greatest hurt I've ever had is from the Christians. Oh, Lord.
To walk every one in his path.
He takes his place. He's got his place. He doesn't get out of rank. Everybody has a place in the body of Christ. Find your place and get in your place. And God will use us together to do a fantastic battle here at the end. It's coming up. Elect Connect.
And when they shall fall upon the sword, they shall not be wounded.
You know why? They're supernatural beings, and they're about to come at the sixth trump. Now, I'm going to fast forward my story here and tell you that Revelation told us that when Jesus comes, these same fallen angels, Nephilim of Genesis 6 and the book of Jude, they are going to come and fight against Jesus and the army Jesus is bringing with him, but they're going to disintegrate at the brightness of Jesus coming. That's going to be the end of them. Did you like that? Well, God bless you. I know you like that. Well, it's time now. We'll begin right there next week. It's time now for a mystery moment, a time to uncover some of the mysteries and answer your questions. Well, you know, we obey the Bible. He said, blow the trumpet in Zion, so we'll do that. Questions and answer. Question number one. Dear Sherry Trumpet, Jesus said to raise the dead, cast out demons, and heal the sick. Sherry, do you do that? Yes, on a regular basis. However, the Father within me, he doeth the work. And it's not by might and not by power, but by thy spirit, saith the Lord. Yes, on a regular basis. You don't do that? You're not normal. We're supposed to. Jesus is alive, and if he lives in you, he can tell you and help you to do whatever you want. Now, I'll say the greatest thing to raise someone from the dead is to lead someone to Jesus. For a lost person just simply is spiritually dead. Dear Sherry, have you ever seen an angel? Many times. Many, many, many times. One time, I was in great trouble. A man was just about to hurt me. And I looked up, and lo and behold, a warring angel. This wasn't one of those pretty ones. This was warring. Boy, he had fire, and he had all kind of... And I got rescued. He looks differently from other times when I've been out in distress and my bicycle tore up and the tire was flat and the chain was off and I had to get back. And suddenly appeared this tall, blonde, blue-eyed guy. Didn't say a word, handed me a beautiful cloth, said, shh, and fixed it. They never say anything to me. I said, I've been living right, he said. Mm. And I have many others, many others. See, we have a spiritual dimension. That's what Scott's program is about. There's so much going on, and it really helps you to understand that we're not alone. The time is at hand. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. One more question here. I think I have time for that. Dear Sherry, when Jesus told us to hate father, mother, brother, sister, son, daughter, etc., what in the world does that mean? I know that Jesus doesn't want us to hate people. You're absolutely right. Jesus wants us to love our parents and our spouse and our children and even our enemies that hurt us. Here's what it means. The Greek word there is to love less. See, your nearest kinsman redeemer is the Lord. And so the one you love the most, that's the one to whom you give allegiance. Your Lord is your husband or your wife or your father or your mother or your son or your daughter. Now, of course, we all love our families. One of the reasons Paul said it's better not to marry if you're chosen. It's very hard to separate your allegiance. You love your family. We all do. We're supposed to. One of the reasons over the years that I've watched people not to get to come to church, it was so sweet. The mother called. The child called. The wife called. In other words, they love them. Got to do that. Here's how I handle it. Let me help you. Because if you're called, you've got a mandate, and you must put God first, and things will come into line. What I said is I said, I love all of you very much with all my heart. But I have an assignment. I have a mandate from God. And I have to obey him and want to. He is my God. But here's what I'll do, loved ones. Let's work your schedule around God's schedule. Let's don't change God's schedule to fit our family's schedule. I assure you, if they love you, they'll respect you. If they don't love you, release them. Release is magnetic and draws to you your own. Put God first in everything. You have a place to be. Be there. Be faithful. Be loyal. No matter how gifted a talent you are, except you be faithful, you will not be useful. A faithful man shall abound with blessings, or a woman. God bless you. Well, I hope all of you were helped by those questions. When you call me, my announcer is going to give you my number in a little bit. Remember to call me about the nationwide Day of Repentance, Confession, Turning to Jesus in the Bible. Need media help here. Call me. All of you warrior elect, if your spirit was quickened, call me. But also feel free to leave your messages on there. But right now, the most important thing, if there's anyone out there who's not saved, let me bring you back to life by the power of Jesus Christ. Pray this after me, please, and mean it. Father, in Jesus' name,
Father, in Jesus' name,
I confess that I have sinned.
I confess that I have sinned.
I repent of all my sins.
I repent of all my sins.
Please forgive me for all my sins.
Please forgive me for all my sins.
Wash them away with the blood of Jesus. I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
Lord Jesus, fill me with your Holy Spirit.
Lord Jesus, fill me with your Holy Spirit.
Grow me from milk to meat of the Word.
Grow me from milk to meat of the Word.
Lead me by your Holy Spirit. and use me to enlarge your territory. I thank you, and I love you. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Now, if you prayed that, you might want to call and tell me. So leave your name there, and I'll pray for you every day. Now, for those of you who are sick, the Lord is still in the healing business. He took 39 stripes on his back, and the Bible says, with his stripes we are healed. North, south, east, and west, wherever there is pain, stop in the name of Jesus. Jesus bore your pains. North, south, east, and west, where there is cancer, be gone. Be gone out of the mouth, out of the stomach, out of the back, out of the colon, out of the heart, out of the lungs, be gone. Lungs, breathe. Heart, breathe. Legs, get up and walk. Bones, be made strong. Backbone, be healed in the name of Jesus. Deaf ears, hear. Brains, come back to action. Oh, people, get up and live some more. Demons, flee in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Migraine, headaches, be gone. Confusion, be gone. Gums and teeth, be healed. Eyes, see in Jesus' name. Arms, hands, legs, breast, skin, feet, toes, body parts missing. Go back now in the name of Jesus. Creator of the universe created your living. He can create you a new body part. You sad hearts, depression be gone in the name of Jesus. Then the joy and gladness come back to you, O body of Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. His left hand's under your head. His right hand doth embrace you. O Spirit of the living God, reach out north, south, east, and west, wherever anyone is listening, even where they're not listening, and touch and heal your people. Convict them of their sins. O Father God, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, right here, right now, in the name and the power of Jesus. We give you praise. We give you glory. We give you honor. In the name of Jesus, we love you, Father. Thank you, thank you, thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, if you had your miracle and were healed, you might want to call and leave that message too. Come to my school every Sunday, 5 p.m., and come every Wednesday night at 6:30 p.m. And don't forget Scott Merson's Picture Scripture Ministry on March 23rd, 6:30 p.m., right here at my school. Now, I want all of you to take what I give you all this time of God's Word. The seed's not in the barn here. I just gave it to you. So see, now you're the barn. But if you let it stay with you, it's going to rot in you, and you're going to rot. You better go sow it to somebody else. Go and tell. Invite people to come here on Sunday. Invite them, the warriors, to come on Wednesday. That's a little bit exclusive because we're not church as usual. Then we're fighting. And invite them to hear this radio program, and that way you can plant some seeds. Remember this about Jesus, Yeshua. His name is called the Word of God, Revelation 19:13. And John 17:17, Jesus said, "Thy word is truth." I love all of you very much. I feel your spirits. I know you're there. And I love you. And God bless you and keep you. And if God is willing, I'll see you next time.
Been listening to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. You're invited to call Sherry at 321-632-4631. That's 321-632-4631. Join us next week at this same time for Trumpet of Truth.
Lord, I wish I could praise you without a doubt. me speechless, and I so long to sing you the song you deserve, but it would be endless. I long to move your heart, I bring you something new, I tell how great you are, I tell my praise to you.
It's like an ocean breeze blowing on your face, like a summer sun with a swarm embrace,
like a gentle rain plays a sound for me. That's what I want my praise to be.
Like a
just one of the millions to stand and confess, and yet still you hear me. Your heart is open wide, you long for what I bring, I pray somehow you'll find this simple offering.
It's like an ocean breeze blowing on your face, like a summer sun with a swarm embrace,
like a gentle rain plays a sound for me. Like a gentle rain plays a symphony, that's what I want my praise to be.
Like a fragrant rose in the early spring, like an eagle soars when it spreads its wings.
Whatever, Lord, you may need from me, that's what I want my praise to be.
Like an ocean
go. that's gone out of control, and you let go. You're slowly losing your confidence, your wounded soul. But I hope you know I can help you find your way. Don't give up faith, don't give up hope. There's always something better waiting around the corner. Don't give up now, please don't let go.
Thank you. the splendid beauty of the sun, the one who died for me.
We die for us, church. Believe it tonight. Come on, let's sing together.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
You're listening to Brevard County's very best in contemporary Christian and modern praise and worship music. 91.5 FM WMIE.
Lord, make me an instrument.
God of hope, fill me. you slay me, I will hope. And hope inspires my endurance, and your hope is my anchor. God of hope, fill me. Though you slay me, I will hope. Hope inspires my endurance. Your hope is my anchor. God of hope, fill me. Though you slay me, I will hope. Yeah. Hope inspires my endurance. Hope is my anchor. God of hope, fill me. Fill me. Though you slay me, I will hope. Your hope inspires my endurance. Your hope, Lord, is my anchor in this earth. Because this broken road prepares your way.